November, I was in Kampala, and I went to speak for Apostle Grace Lubega, and there is a man in Uganda, Bishop Kayinja, who is one of the fathers of faith in Uganda, and he had a conference, and he had Pastor Paula White, he had Dr. Paul Ineche, he also had Reverend Jonathan Shuttlesworth. It just so happened that I saw him in the lobby of the hotel. We were staying in the same hotel. And I think I was with Pastor Sunday, and I just said, oh, that's Reverend Shuttlesworth. And I went and greeted him, you know. But I'd started hearing of him in some years back, and I knew he came for a conference I go for Southwest Believers Convention. He spoke at the last one. All right, so I just, you know, on that basis, introduced myself. And he went up the elevator, and he was gone. And next thing, I got back to Nigeria. I was going to preach the next week for Pastor Matthew Ashimolo. So he sent me a message that you've not told me about your flight ticket. I said, when am I scheduled? So he sent me the schedule. And I looked at it, and I saw that I was to speak in Port Harcourt just before him. Ah, I said, the man I saw 6 days ago, we are meeting again. And while I was preaching, he walked in. And he encouraged me while I was preaching. That's right, you know, pumped his Bible. So we sat down, and he came and said, I said, do you remember? He said, what? I said, Uganda. He said, that's quite interesting. And what I said to him now, and at that point, when I heard him preach, this is where I was getting to. I said to myself, this man should be part of Wolfbeck. Not Wolfbeck 2026, as part of the Wolfbeck family. So me too, I'm making my confession too. But I said it for three reasons. Number one, because I was a bit that, how is he going to be able to communicate to, a lot of ministers, it's not necessary that they were all highly educated. But number one, he communicated in a way that everybody could understand what he was saying. Number two, he had a unique spiritual lineage. Someone who was grandfather, father was in the Church of Holiness, and then at the same time was in the Word of Faith circles. And then I heard certain things he said about, you know, giving. I'd never heard anybody teach on giving, and the way he described it. Ah, in my heart I said, this is the real deal. All right, but of course, this November, Wolfbeck is in January, so I just mentioned to him, I said, I would like to invite you to Lagos. I'll get your number from, when I said Lagos, I didn't mean this, I meant, you know, 2027. And somehow we met on Instagram, and he sent me his direct line, and I sent and said, so where's the invitation? You said, I said, the door has opened. I quickly looked at the schedule. I said, what can I move? Bamba, I can move Saturday. I can move. I created vacuum on Saturday, created Sunday, and all of that. And I said, Saturday and Sunday. He said, you will see me on Saturday. All right. I won't say the part. While we were upstairs, he told me another additional part that shows it is purely divine. Him being here. Let me tell you this. Purely divine, all right, that is here. But like I said, is a powerful voice, right? Fresh voice in the circle of Word of Faith ministers, and I believe that comes from his spiritual background, where we now have an institute. To show you what I'm saying, Dr. W.F. Kumi invited him to speak to all their pastors. He's coming from, do you know what we're talking about? For Reverend Pastor Kumi to invite you to come. You know, you understand. Uh-huh. We that are here understand. For you to be able to speak with Brother Copeland and speak with Pastor Kumi. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It means Copeland hears you and says, this man is one of us. Dr. Kumi hears you and says, this man, because you don't put a minister before your pastors if you don't trust that person 100%. Let's rise to our feet and welcome for the first time, and we believe continuously Reverend Jonathan Shuttlesworth.
Well, give Jesus a great big hand clap in Lagos. Who came ready to receive from the Lord today? Before you're seated, what Pastor Poju said is true. I speak for the people who have jets, and I speak for the people who hate jets. It's a unique mix. And it's a sign. I have an uncle that's in the ministry, my dad's oldest brother. All my grandfather was the first one saved in our family. He had four sons. You can be seated. And the four sons, let's get some oil on those chairs. The four sons, my grandfather said, God, if you will make it so my sons won't ever go into the world, I'll serve you the rest of my life. So all four sons are preachers, and now all their kids are preachers. And so my uncle is 70, and he prophesied that at the last period of time, a couple of things actually that are all coming to pass right now. When America looked like it was going to go communist and godless, my Uncle Ted prophesied in 2015 in Ohio in a public meeting. He said that God's going to flip everything on the devil. And when the spirit of revival gets so strong in America, the sign will be that the United Nations will leave the shores of the United States. This last week, President Trump voted to defund the United Nations on 63 of their programs and pull the United States out. It's a sign that Antichrist spirit, because the United Nations works to bring everything under a one world government, and we know from the book of Revelation, that's not good. That's not God's plan. God created nations. God didn't create a one world government. And so that sign of the United States taking all the money out of the UN, and now the UN is publicly discussing leaving New York and moving to Europe, is a fulfillment of prophecy that those two spirits won't be able to occupy the same continent. Either the spirit of God will prevail or the Antichrist spirit will drive out the church. And thank God the church is prevailing like it always has over all the power of the devil. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The second thing he said is Jesus is not coming back for a weak, defeated church. He's coming back for a glorious, victorious, spotless church. And we're a part of that church. And my uncle prophesied, I never forgot it. He said, in the last days, the best of the Pentecostal holiness movement will merge with the best of the Word of Faith movement. And those two things coming together will be like C4 and a detonator, and will be the final explosion against the powers of hell. I believe we're in that group right now in this meeting. Those that are watching online, those that are watching on television, God's going to put his fire on you and use you to do more for the Lord than you've ever done in Jesus' name. If you believe it, give the Lord the greatest hand clap and shout that you've ever given anybody. I want you, if you have your Bibles, open them with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. And I want to say thank you to Pastor Poju for this great invitation. Everything he said is true. I was walking through the lobby of the hotel to go preach. I had just got in at 9 o'clock. And I had to preach at 11, 2 hours, so I had enough time to go up to my hotel, change, and I was late coming down. And someone said, Pastor Jonathan, from across the lobby. And I was already late, so I said, hello, you know me? And I was not very nice, because in America, if someone recognizes you as a preacher, normally you have to fight. They're not coming to pay you honor. They don't like something you said. So I said, you know me? He said, yeah, but would you mind if I get a picture? And we did very quickly, shook hands. And then a few days later, I went to Montreal in Canada, preached for a week, came back to Nigeria, and I was speaking at a minister's session for Pastor Ashimaloa. And on the front row, I said, I feel like I've met you before. He said, I just saw you in the hotel lobby in Kampala. Well, I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. And to see somebody that quick in two different nations, I thought was wild. So then he posted a picture of us together on Instagram. And a friend of mine from the United States that's from Nigeria, Preacher Jay, he said, you know Pastor Poju? I said, I do as of last week. He said, he runs one of the best conferences in the world. He said if he ever invites you to it, it would be a mistake not to go. As he was typing that to me, I got a message from Pastor Poju about this. And I'm sorry for misreading. I thought it was about this year. So whoever got forced out of their session, my deepest apologies on behalf of myself and my family. I pray the Lord blesses you. But I believe these 2 days, if God did all that to divinely orchestrate it, then these are going to be 2 sessions that God uses to change your life forever. How many of you believe that with me? 1 Kings chapter 18, the Bible says, verse 36, at the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately, everybody shout immediately. The fire of God flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bulls and goats. It even licked up all the water that was around the stones and in the dust. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, the Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord, he is God. Then Elijah commanded, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape. The people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed every one of them there. The Lord spoke to me going into this year very clearly that this year the prophetic theme we gave for our churches was throw down, which is not a phrase you see in the Bible, but I found about 21 places where God anointed people like Gideon or Elijah to tell the devil enough is enough and then destroy everything that they had spent a long time building. There's an anointing on confrontation of the powers of darkness this year, because light cannot coexist with darkness. That's the mistake we made in Europe and Canada and the United States. We felt like the devil could have his place, we could have our place, and we'll leave each other alone. But one will take the other out. If the church allows its fire to go down and allows its place in society to be dictated by the forces of darkness, it won't be long. And I know we have people watching from all over the world. None of this is meant as insults, but you cannot fix a problem that you refuse to diagnose. To pretend everything's okay in Europe and everything's okay in the UK and there's some problems in Canada, but basically everything's okay, you're living in a dream world. They are very close. Now think of this. Yesterday, the head of the United Arab Emirates announced that they will not pay for any of their students to leave the United Arab Emirates to go to UK because they don't want them radicalized in the mosques in the UK. That the Middle East is saying that the mosques in Europe are jihadist mosques that we don't approve of. Whoever thought the day would come where Europe would be considered too radically jihadist for the Middle East? Canada's in the same place. My sister pastors in Quebec. They have legislation right now to ban public prayer in Quebec, in Canada. That if you're caught praying in public, you'll be arrested. Last night when I finished preaching for Dr. Kamuyi, a friend of mine named Tom DeWall was holding a healing meeting in Amsterdam, Netherlands. And the police came into the meeting, you can look it up on Instagram if you want, and told him he's disturbing the peace and doesn't have a permit to be preaching, a permit in a full gospel church to preach in Europe. And so they told him, you have to disband this meeting. So he listened. He went outside the church. It was a healing meeting, so people had come for prayer. Some of the ladies that had come for prayer said, you know, excuse me, my friend has cancer. She came for prayer. I know they've disbanded the meeting, but would you pray? He had no microphone, no bullhorn, didn't confront the police. And he laid hands on one or two of the people, and the police arrested him and took him to the police station for disturbing the peace. The mayor's a homosexual. The mayor was pushed by the LGBTQ plus organizations to shut that down. And sooner or later, Europe, Canada, and America are going to have to wake up to the fact that the devil doesn't want the church small. The devil wants the church dead. But I have news for the devil in 2026. This is not the devil's time. Jesus said, listen to this. Jesus did not say, I will give my church power to survive. Jesus said, I will build my church in the face of all of this persecution. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. 2026 is going to be a year of an explosion of the multiplication of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world, in Nigeria, in America, in Canada, in Europe, and the UK. The devil will not write the final chapter of world history. The people that will write the final chapter of world history are in this room and watching on television, and God is anointing you right now to have the best year in the ministry and in business that you've ever had in Jesus' name. If you receive it, give the Lord a mighty hand clap and a great shout today. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you can see it happening. America was in the same boat, and I'm glad to report, and I'm not saying this because I'm an American that feels great about my country. One administration ago and three administrations ago, I was extremely concerned. And we began, is that interesting? I was reading yesterday in my study time that when America hit the Great Depression, you know, people think America, because America produced so many great preachers over the years, they feel like it was always Christian. Even in America, they say we need to get back to how we were. But if you ever watch old Western movies, that's what America was like. Everybody was carrying a gun, drinking, and they settled their problems by shooting. Fort Worth in Dallas, Texas, where the Southwest Believers Convention is, that used to be called Hell's Half Acre. Hell's Half Acre, because they said there was rarely an afternoon where two people didn't get in a fight over playing cards, go outside and shoot each other. And if the sheriff came, they shot him. America was basically run by warlords in the 1800s. They killed all the British, then they started killing each other. It was run by criminals. And what changed it? Three great awakenings. God said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. That's why you should never, no person of faith should ever speak down about their nation. Even talking about Canada and Europe, I'm not saying that to, you know, anytime you talk like that, people write in the comments, you shouldn't talk that way. Listen, you have to address a problem to heal a problem. You can't pretend that problems don't exist. So, but you should never give up on a nation. You should never say this nation's finished. Because God said, and we see it with Elijah, God doesn't need his people to outnumber the devil's people. One man, that's why the Antichrist can't set up shop until the church is raptured. Because one old lady that's filled with the Holy Ghost could fly to wherever the Antichrist is, cast the devil out of him, and start building the church. The devil does not have power over the church. The devil is not over your head. The devil's not over your nation's head. The devil's not eye to eye. The devil is the same place today that he'll be all of this year. Not over your head, not eye to eye, but under your feet. Say it so the devil can hear you. I have dominion over all the power of the devil. Praise God. And then that's what Elijah did. 850 prophets, some of Baal, some of Ashtaroth. And Elijah said, he says it in the New Living Translation, he said, you guys go first, because there's many of you and one of me. And they went all day and couldn't get fire to come down. Then one guy, no team of intercessors. We're not against intercessors. But for everybody that thinks, man, we need to get everybody praying. One person, think of this. Daniel praying in Babylon. All of the high-level wizards and witches that operated in Babylon met with Nebuchadnezzar and said, we can't do what we want unless we get that old man to stop praying. One man in this room, one woman in this room, has power by the Holy Ghost over every strategy and scheme of hell, and you're going to put it into manifestation this year in Jesus' name. So you can contend for your nation. I was reading that in the Great Depression, that when everything, the American economy that's so strong now, was one of the worst in the world. It had completely collapsed. And that's where they didn't start opening City Hall with prayer like in the 1700s or 1800s. It was the presidents during the Great Depression. FDR, Herbert Hoover, put out public proclamations in the newspaper to ask America to fast and pray for the nation. The president asked. The president asked on the radio. People shut down days of work to fast on Wednesday all over America. And then what happened? Not only did God turn the tide of that Great Depression, the American economy began to roar. God made up, raised up Christian businessmen. 1940, 1944, 1945, gave them divine ideas, and the American economy exploded. Then people did just like they did in the Old Testament. They got prosperous. They forgot about God. Their church attendance began to sink. They stopped praying. Nobody fasted. Trying to get an American to fast is like trying to get a lion to be a house pet. What they call fasting in America, in Africa, they call eating. Americans are the only people that can put on weight on a fast. They switch to the Daniel fast and just eat all day. People got comfortable. They got lazy. I'm fasting TV. Listen, unless you're eating TVs, you can't fast TVs. Oh, loose crowd. I like you guys. How many feel the joy of the Lord in here? That's because faith has a buddy. That friend is named Joy. And the joy of the Lord will follow you all of this year in Jesus' mighty name. So they began to pray. God broke America out of that depression, resurrected the economy. That's when the assemblies of God exploded at that time. Because when you read in the Bible, anytime you wait on God in prayer, He not only answers what you're praying for, He gives you exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond everything that you're asking and thinking. Remember Hezekiah was going to die? Isaiah came and told him, get your affairs in order because you're going to die. You know, when a prophet tells you you're going to die like Isaiah, you're a dead man. And Hezekiah said, I don't want to die. And he told the Lord, I don't want to die. And God spun Isaiah on his heels and said, go back and tell him, I have seen his tears, I have heard his prayers, and now I'm extending his life 15 years. And everybody say bonus. See, he's the God of overflow. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. He's not interested in meeting your needs. He's interested in empowering you to meet the needs of your generation. Tell him I've heard his prayers, I've seen his tears, and I've extended his life, and I will give him victory over all of his enemies. Now, I'm not saying this to fill time. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost, whatever enemy you came to this conference with, you will find that enemy's gone by the time you leave this conference in Jesus' name. If you believe it, celebrate it ahead of time. Give the Lord a mighty hand clap and a mighty shout. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can I tell you something? 2026 will not be a repeat of 2025. 2026 will be the best year you've ever had. Amen. If you believe it, shout amen like thunder. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Say it out loud. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Well, America drifted back and we were in bad shape. It was starting to get to the point you couldn't get permits to build churches. They wouldn't zone any place a church. Churches were closing down. Denominations were losing all their members. And I watched Americans get hungry for God again. And they started to realize we are in trouble. In fact, when they did the COVID lockdowns, it's like people woke up. You know, it started to sound very revelation-y what the government was asking you to do. Unless you get something injected in your body, you can't go to work. People in America started thinking, I think my grandma told me something like this. And people started to go to church. Gang members started to go to church. Motorcycle gangs started to go to church. People got hungry for God. And I watched the American church begin to fast and pray again. And God turned that nation. I'm telling you, if you're in America, I have never seen, it's going to be hard for me to talk about it without crying, because it's like the answer to everything I've believed for in the ministry in 20 some years happening all at once. You can hardly turn on X, Facebook, television, if you watch a sporting event and they interview the top football player that had the best game. He doesn't talk about the game. The second they give him the mic, he starts talking about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God's blessing on his life. America is in the beginnings of a massive move of God. One of the universities in America, the students themselves baptized 12,000 students at that university in the university fountain. The devil is getting his sorry rear end thrown out of America, and I believe that's going to be the situation in every nation, because God said, if my people that are called by my name humble themselves and pray, not I might hear from heaven, I will hear from heaven and I will revive their land. Nigeria has had historic revivals, but the greatest one is beginning right now, because God is going to shake this world one more time by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you believe it, can you say aloud, amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to play a video to illustrate what I'm talking about. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. One of them is called special faith, and people often call it the gift of faith. When you read teaching on the gift of faith, it's pretty great, because 8 of them do something for others, but the gift of faith receives something for you. And you normally don't realize that that gift is in operation till you're done with it. And you realize, that wasn't me. That was God like mantling me. I was reading Kenneth Hagin's definition of the gift of faith. And he said it's like God stepping into your body and using it to do one of his purposes. It's why Daniel was sleeping in the lion's den. Daniel wasn't cursing lions. Daniel wasn't taking authority over lions. He went to sleep. When the gift of faith comes on you, you are just supremely conscious of how great God is and how weak your enemy is. That gift is coming upon you tonight. I'm going to tell you something. Not just for today. You will run on the gift of faith every month of this year called 2026. So, I was praying, but you have to be honest to go to heaven. I was playing video games, and as I was playing video games, waiting for the screen to load on the headset with my friends, I said, hold on a second. And the Lord dealt with me. He said, this Christmas, I want you to find the place with the highest childhood poverty, and I want you to bring toys and gifts to them and tell them it's from Jesus. Then when they come to receive it, I want you to preach, tell them about me, and pray for those that want prayer. So I told my ministry staff to announce it. We picked a section of Houston, Texas. Now, Houston has money, but in any city, you got bad parts, and there's a part of Houston that has some of the highest childhood poverty in the United States. Christmas is supposed to be a happy time, and it's always stood out to me how many people have tragedies that took place in their life or family around Christmas, where the devil wants to take what's meant to be a time of rejoicing and make it a time of sorrow. I tell you in the name of Jesus, everything the devil's done to cause you private tears, the only tears you'll cry this year are tears of joy in Jesus' mighty name. The only tears you'll cry this year are tears of joy. Everybody say gift of faith. So, we put out the registration. We've done Christmas stuff before. Normally we have 800 people register, 1,000, 1,200. If it's really good, 2,000 people register. Well, in 3 days, we had 22,000 people register. And I announced it 2 weeks ahead of time. So then we had enough toys to give 1,000 kids toys. We did not have, I was thinking I'm gonna have to get my own elves, like Santa. I'm gonna have to get little free labor. We didn't have enough toys for all those people. It ended up 53,000 people registered, which necessitated about $1.2 million worth of toys. Well, not only did I not have the money for the toys, I was going over to Port Harcourt where I met your pastor. See, this is so powerful. Everybody say the gift of faith. It's what your pastor liked. I was kind of preaching on that to the pastors. There's a flow you can get in the Holy Ghost. It's the flow of faith. The Bible says the steps of a hallelujah. Protore kashteka, endiarabo reta, indiarabo, akastondiarabo. Rikondoreka Ishkandiarabo. That text I read, Elijah, I don't think till he laid down under the broom tree in chapter 19 did he realize what he did. Because when you get in that supernatural flow, first he calls down fire while the prophets of Baal are doing their thing. He's not praying against them. He says, I bind you, I bind you, I bind you. You don't have to bind the devil. He's already under your feet. Your pastor told me, I grew up in Pentecostal Holiness Church. They bound the devil every 8 minutes. They'd get up to open the service. Before we start today, Satan, we bind you. Before they started, the worship team came. We bind you, Satan. Before the offering, we bind you. I remember being 9 years old and thinking, if this sucker's that slippery that he can get loose every 11 minutes, we're fighting a losing battle. But I got good news. Jesus didn't take some of his power. I said Jesus didn't take some of his power. Jesus stripped him of all of his power, made a show of him openly, and put him under your feet. I tell you a second time, every manifestation of the enemy that's running around your life, it comes under divine judgment today. If you believe it, let your amen be the loudest. Praise God. So he's mocking the prophets of Baal, just chilling. Then calls down fire. If you read his prayer and you read it slow, it takes about 14 and a half seconds to read his prayer. And fire flashed down. Then he told the king, you should get in your chariot and head home, for I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Then he tucked up his cloak and outran the king's chariot. Kings don't have slow horses and diseased horses. Kings had the fastest horses in the land. And that old prophet, not wearing Nike track shoes and spandex pants, wearing a robe, tucked that thing up by his side and outran the king's chariot. Scholars say for 17, what do you use, kilometers here? 30 kilometers. He outran the king's chariot, not on a sprint. He outran those horses for 30 kilometers as an old man. See, when you get in that supernatural flow, the hand of God comes upon you and you just start busting the devil's camp without even knowing what you're doing. That will be your story all of this year in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it one more time. The Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Well, I probably should have been worrying about where I was going to get those toys from. But I was upstairs. I had a few days off. I don't get too many days off in a year. So I was upstairs watching sports in a room by myself. And a guy called me and said, I heard about that outreach you're doing in Houston. I said, yeah. He said, how's registration going? I said, we have close to 40,000 people registered, and it should be more than that by the end. He said, do you have enough toys? I said, well, this is the first I thought about it. I said, no, I don't think. He said, well, what are you going to do? You probably need a few 18-wheelers full, big trucks. What are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I'm a preacher. I'm not a toy maker. See, that's what the gift of faith does. When you have people come to you, yeah, I'm believing. I don't think you're believing. Because if you were, your face wouldn't look like this. Faith doesn't bring sorrow. Faith has a relaxation to it. Peter was asleep in prison. Daniel was asleep in prison. I got news for you. Because you came to this conference, when everybody's in turmoil in the world, you'll be asleep dreaming the dreams of God. Somebody shout, special faith. So he said, I have a connection at the White House. They might want to hear what you're doing. Maybe they'll want to get involved. I said, okay, let me know. I never asked. And so the call went into the White House. The White House found out we were giving away toys to all those people, and they made calls from the White House. And mobilized, before I knew it, there were three 18-wheelers, big trucks, full of toys, and not bad toys, nice toys, like go-karts and Game Boys and video games like that. See, what you're going to realize is if you'll take the time, Whenever you take your time to pray and fast in January, I want to give you a higher way to do things. Ask the Lord to show you. Don't tell him what your dreams and goals are and ask him to bless it. You can do that, but I'm telling you a higher way. Ask the Lord to show you what he'd have you to do. And when you listen, all of the money's already committed on that path. You will enjoy the blessing of God effortlessly flowing into your life from today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, one truck from Washington State, one truck from California, one truck from another state. I can't remember which one. And they said, they're going to give you the toys for 70% off. So now it went from a million something to 400,000. Well, that's doable, but it's still a lot of money. Plus, I told Pastor Matthew Ashimaloa I was going to send 200,000 for the food and surgeries, 200,000 US to help with the surgeries and food. I said that in July, thinking November's far away. And then November came very quick. So I already had that money committed. But again, I'm looking back on it now. I was not worried. I was chilling because the gift of faith, that's what it does. It makes life. All these people that say faith doesn't make it easy, it makes it possible. I disagree. Can you think of an easier way to get across the Red Sea than to hold a stick over it? Faith has divine ease attached to it. I said, faith, my yoke is and my burden is. You'll say, how many know it's hard to serve the Lord? Then go do drugs. Let me know how that works out for you. God is a good God. God has life for you. God has peace for you. God has honor for you. God has great blessing. Can you say amen? Amen. Somebody say the gift of faith. So I didn't feel any of this. Then I get another call. I never called. I wouldn't have even known who to call. If the people that sent the toys were sitting here, I don't know what they looked like. So then I get a call. Hey, they just called again and said they'll donate the toys. You don't have to pay any. Just pay for the truck drivers, about $12,000 or $18,000, something like that. That's no problem. Then I never called. I don't call people and say, we're a church, can you help? And so then I got another call. The truck drivers found out what they're delivering and they said they want to donate it. So we got $1.1 million of toys for free shipped to that place. Now, everybody that registers doesn't show up, but this is the first time in the United States that we ever cracked 10,000 people in live attendance at once. 10,300, this is gonna look like an old T.L. Osborne crusade overseas. But see, this move of God is gonna hit everywhere. The devil is not gonna have Europe. Do you hear me? The devil will not have Europe. And you know what's happened, don't you? If God can't find European preachers that'll preach it, God's sending people from Nigeria to take the Nigerian fire and blow the devil's sorry butt back out of those countries in Jesus' name. The people that are going to change this world are not out there somewhere. They're in this room. I'm looking at you right now. If you believe it, shout, I receive it.
I receive it.
How do you do it? Everybody say, by faith. And then the Bible says there's a high form of faith called special faith. Let's just summarize it. It's like God uses your body to accomplish his work. And I'm going to tell you, it's a great feeling. You don't even realize till years go by. Well, good Lord, what did we do? And all you can do is thank God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So then we got there, 10,300. Now, rough people, not church people. We're in America, they call it the hood. I don't know what you call it here. And we weren't in the hood. We were in the part of the hood that the people that live in the hood call the hood. And so you had gang members there in matching colors. You had all that. But you know what? That's who Jesus came for. That's why I like Christianity a lot. Every other religion has to get you to come to their place for it to work. But Christianity, you don't even need a microphone. You can take your Bible and stand anywhere, open it up and begin to preach, and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ begins to convert people, begins to heal people. It is the power of God that works unto salvation. So I stood up, and I said to that rowdy crowd, I said, a pastor is a poor pastor. If you have needs and you're hurting, And all he does is tell you some Bible verses and wish you luck. I said, but a pastor is also a bad pastor if all he does is give you toys. And I told him the story of my wife's brother, Jose. Nobody served the Lord in the family. A few days before Christmas, they were driving in New York City in the Bronx, and their three-year-old son was in the back seat. Back then, nobody had car seats. They hit a pothole. It jarred the door open, and their three-year-old boy got ejected from the back seat, hit his head, taken to Beth Israel Hospital or wherever in New York, and they said, they put him on full life support, breathing machine, all the machines, feeding machine, and they told my mother-in-law, Matilda, we're gonna have to pull the plug, he's done. Nothing's working, this is right before Christmas. And then my father-in-law, my wife is from Puerto Rico, her family's from Puerto Rico, there's an evangelist from Puerto Rico, he's in heaven now. His name's G.J. Avila. He was a miracle evangelist. And he happened to be in the Bronx. Well, his ministry was so impactful. Like Pastor Attaboy, like everybody knew who he was. And so my father-in-law, when he heard his son was gonna die, didn't serve the Lord, wasn't close to serving the Lord, busted into that tent meeting, found out the trailer that G.J. was staying in before service, and went and busted into his trailer. It'd be like you finding a way to the back room where the preacher is. My father-in-law's a big guy. And he said, G.J., you have to leave this meeting and pray for my son. He's going to die. G.J. said, I can't leave these meetings. There's 5,000 people here that need prayer. And he took his handkerchief, poured some oil on it, and he said, take this cloth to your son, rub it over his body, and when you do, he'll live. My father-in-law, everybody say, gift of faith. Say something with me. Say, faith is contagious. Say, faith is impartable. Some of you had to fight harsh battles your whole life because nobody in your house had faith. And so unbelief was imparted. People told you how hard life's going to be. When you started going to church, they said, you think that stuff's going to work? All they know is failure. But I have good news. All it takes is one person in a family to say enough is enough. As for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord, we're gonna believe the word, we're gonna meditate on the word, and we're gonna speak the word. Your children will never have to fight one battle that you fought. Because today you are conquering all those giants. If you receive it, clap your hands and give the Lord a mighty shout one more time. Somebody say, faith is impartable. Now, how does a guy that doesn't even go to church, that does all kinds of things that are far from holy, now have a cloth with oil on it to march into a hospital to rub it over his son? Dr. Jesse Duplantis calls it the unconscious obedience of the unbeliever. If you handed a cloth with oil on it to many Christians, they go, oh, that's that health and wealth stuff. I don't believe in that. But if you give it to a mechanic who hasn't been to church, he goes, sure thing. So he walks into the room, pushes my mother-in-law out of the way, and takes the cloth and rubs it over his son's body, and then leaves. And while he was rubbing it over his body, my mother-in-law, you know, people don't know anything about, they think the devil has all supernatural power and witches have power. So anytime you start doing stuff like that, they think it's like demonic. So my mother-in-law said, this is no time to be practicing Santeria. We don't do that. And he held her off with one hand and did what the preacher told him to do. So my mother-in-law asked the doctor, can you please wait until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.? Because my sisters are coming from Massachusetts and they want to see him one more time before he dies. Everybody say this word with me. Say faith.
Faith.
You know, faith raises the dead. Faith imparts divine life into the carrier. Hallelujah. If you would, lift both hands all over this place and lift your hands on YouTube. There is divine life flowing into your body right now. Someone's kidneys have jerked back to life now. Someone will get a report, you will never need dialysis again. Someone with a child born with developmental difficulties, the child will be topping its class in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. They agreed with my mother-in-law, we'll wait till 8 o'clock. So she went home, got her sisters at about 5 a.m. They drove in at 6 to spend 2 last living hours with their boy. Walked around the corner of the hall, walked into the room. And when they walked in, Jose was sitting up in bed eating cereal with the feeding tube and breathing tube out and said, "Hi, Mom." And it reversed. You want to know how I found out that story? Because when I started dating my wife, when I went to her house for the first time to meet the parents, you know, normally the father's mean to you and the mother's mean to you. You know, what are you? When I came in, the father got up from his seat and took another seat and told me to sit at the head of the table. Then the mom brought me, she brought everybody else 1 plate of food and brought me 2 plates of food. It was like the Old Testament, a double portion. So I didn't ask any questions, I ate the food, and then when we left, I said, "What's with your family?" to my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time. I said, "Why do they treat me so nice? Why did your dad get up and have me sit at the head of the table instead of telling me, what are you doing dating my daughter? I don't want you in this house." They said, she said, "Because you're an evangelist." I said, "Well, that's normally why people treat you mean. They don't want their daughter marrying a preacher." And then she told me that story, that G.J. Avila, who was an evangelist, God used him to raise her brother back off his deathbed, so they have a respect. Did you know, when I married my wife, almost no one in that family served the Lord, and within 2 years, everyone in the family was serving the Lord. Now, I'm telling you why I'm telling you that. Because when you step out in faith, see, they just thought they were G.J. thought he was just being used to get a boy off of his deathbed. But that miracle rippled 35 years into the future and softened the family's heart and converted everyone. Every seed that you've sown in faith, every seed of money, every seed of action, every seed of obedience that you've not seen the harvest on, 100-fold return is coming now in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen like thunder. So, that's how that happened. Kid got raised up. Everybody say, gift of faith. So I told the crowd that story in Houston. I said, if somebody would have given my mother-in-law a Game Boy or a go-kart while her son was dying in the hospital, she would have been thankful for it. But toys and food and clothes can't erase the greatest need. Until something changes inside, nothing changes outside. And I talked about Jesus coming and giving his blood. And I watched, it is my favorite thing in the world to watch people start, when you're preaching outside to unsaved people or in prison or whatever, to have them start like this. Then go like this. As the gospel comes into their heart, the love of God breaks down every wall. Every wall the devil has erected against your advancement, it is declared broken down now. In the name of Jesus. And then I watched one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I want to show you. And then I want you to see after. This is in America. That after that, I said, now everybody doesn't have, nobody came for this. I just told you we were going to give you toys. But I said, if anybody wants prayer, I said, you can line up and I'm going to lay hands on you. And I'm telling you, a ton of people lined up. And they were, you know, they were on the pavement, the asphalt. People were falling out under the power. One lady fell out under the power. When she fell out, she went, what the hell was that? So no, just say praise the Lord. That was the power of God. They don't even know what falling under the power is. One lady, I could feel the oppression on her. I could tell you what was wrong with her. 3 different things, major things. And so I laid hands on her. She went out crying. I said, lift her back up. Laid hands on her again. Went out a second time. This is a total, rank, unchurched sinner. 3rd time, crying harder. 4th time, crying harder. I said, you'll never go back to those drugs again. You'll never go back to that unclean sexual bondage again. There is no chain that hell has forged that the blood of Jesus can't break upon contact. So I want to show you the video. I want to show you how God not only orchestrated 10,000 sinners together, and over 1,000 respond by lifting hands, and 700 that filled out the cards to go to church in one day. $1 million worth of toys. Everybody say El Shaddai. The God of more than enough. Did you know everybody got great toys and there were still thousands left over? So I'm headed to Los Angeles at the end of this month, and we're going to punch the devil in his ugly head in L.A., and we're not going to let up. The devil's going to have the worst year that he's ever had in every city of the world. This is the time. This is the time of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a part of that church. You're a part of that church. Receive that faith today. Watch this.
We felt led by the Spirit to go to a section of Houston facing some of the highest levels of childhood poverty with one simple goal: to bring joy and hope to the families in the city. When God speaks, you move quickly. Revival Today went into action, and in just 17 days, this event came together. We initially planned to reach a few thousand people, but the advertising caught fire. In 1 week alone, more than 20,000 people registered. Paula White's ministry, the National Faith Advisory Board, CityServe, and others donated 2 18-wheelers filled with over 22,000 toys to give children's gifts for Christmas.
I came to tell the devil something in Houston.
Yo vine a decirle algo al diablo en Houston.
Enough is enough.
Ya es suficiente.
It's time for the people of Houston to be free.
Ya es tiempo que la gente de Houston sea libre.
Come on, the power of the devil.
Bajo el poder de Dios.
I tell you in the name of Jesus.
Te digo que en nombre de Jesús.
From the back.
Desde atrás.
To the front.
Hasta el frente.
The tide is turning in your life today.
Todo está cambiando a tu favor.
As hard as life used to be.
Lo más difícil que la vida
when
ha sido.
When you come to Jesus.
Cuando tú vienes a Jesús.
He's going to lift your heavy burden.
Él te va a sacar la carga.
And he's going to destroy the yoke of the devil.
Y él va a romper el yugo del diablo.
No more poverty.
Ya no más pobreza.
No more struggling for food.
No más escasez.
No more struggling for a place to live.
No más para
today I'm going to introduce you to somebody.
Hoy yo voy a introducir a alguien.
His name is El Shaddai.
Su nombre es El Shaddai.
The God of more than enough.
El Dios que va.
As Pastor Jonathan preached, tears filled the crowd and bondages were broken. When the altar call was given, hundreds responded. In total, we saw 10,320 in attendance, and 710 people gave their lives to Christ. This is not the devil's time in America. This is America's time to come to Christ. Our generation will be saved.
I want you to read that out loud. Read it. Say it louder so they can hear you in hell. I'm telling you today, this is the day the Lord has made. You will leave here with reason to rejoice and be glad in it. There's nothing the devil has done to you that God can't turn it around. I was listening to Dr. Polonici on the first night. I feel such a kinship with him because he crusades, telling the devil to take his hands off people. In the beginning, it was not so. There were no pediatric cancer centers in the Garden of Eden. There won't be any in the New Jerusalem. There's no depression. There's no suicide. In the beginning, it was not so. Jesus left heaven. I don't know why he did. I'd have stayed up there and went, y'all can fend for yourselves. You sold this out over some fruit on a tree? It's too bad I wasn't Adam. There would be no sin because I don't like fruit. If the devil said, you can't eat any fruit on this tree, I'd say, no problem. I'm not eating any fruit on any trees. Sold it all out. And the devil became the master of mankind. And Jesus, every other religious leader was trying to find a way to get into heaven and get in relationship with God. But Jesus was already in heaven. The Son of God made flesh, more than a prophet, more than a teacher. He is the Son of God made flesh. And he came into this earth, born of a virgin, no sin, When my wife had our baby, I went to the meeting with her, and they said they need to test my blood. I said, what do you need to test my blood for? They said, the child gets its blood from the father. I got blessed in the OBGYN office. I realized why there was no earthly father for Jesus. Because if there was, see, you need to tell this when you go to college and university and they try to make it like Jesus is just one of the many religious leaders. If you're in this region, you like Buddha. If you're in this religion, you like him. There's Jesus. Doesn't matter. They're all the same. Oh, no, my friend. There's a difference. Jesus was not born of an earthly father. The power of God overshadowed Mary and she became fruitful. And the thing conceived in her was holy, not carrying the stain of sin. Then the devil said, no problem. I got the first one to sin, the first Adam, I'll get this one too. But this one was different. He was tempted and tested in all points like we are, yet he never sinned. Then the devil, being the stupid fool that he is, said, I know what I'll do. I'll have him killed on the cross. I didn't grow up in Nigeria, as you probably were able to discern. But so I don't know what they did here. But when I was growing up in church, they said, if the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of. But you know what? You can actually remind him of his past too, because he didn't do too great there either. Basically, from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation 22, the Bible is a record of the devil making his best plan. And God usually just raising up one man or one woman that carried something on the inside of him called faith. That's what's in you. See, that's why the enemy has a major problem. Because there's not one person carrying faith. There's enough firepower in this room to blow every trace of the devil out of the nation of Nigeria permanently. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Everybody say, I have faith.
I have faith.
I want you to train yourself to say that from this day forward. So saying, I struggle. I need prayer. Every time you get ready to say, I struggle, I need prayer, try something instead. Put your hand on your belly and go, thank you, Father, that I have your faith on the inside of me. And because I have your faith, all things. See, I'm still talking about that testimony 2 months later because I can't get, you know, it was only a few years ago that I didn't have enough money to get toys for my one kid and a gift for my one wife. But that's the thing with faith. Don't worry about where you are now. Where you are now is not where you're gonna finish. That's why the devil always wants you focused on, well, how come it's not working? Look where you are now. Let me tell you something. It is impossible for the man that holds faith to not increase. The kingdom of God is built on increase. I said the kingdom of God is built on increase. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. I got news for you today. Where you are now is the smallest you'll ever be. From today, no more ups and downs, just ups and ups, from glory to glory. Glory, victory to victory, and faith to faith. If you believe it, shout amen like thunder. Put your hand on your belly. Close both eyes. Say, thank you, God, that I have faith. Not a little faith. I have your faith living on the inside of me. Pastor Daniel told you how to stir it up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Bible tells you how to get more. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So even if you came in here low on faith, you got 53 minutes worth of faith in you now. That faith's gonna continue to grow. I said that faith's gonna continue to grow. When you go back to your home, the faith that you're carrying is gonna drive out all the works of unbelief in your home. Your children will serve the Lord. I said your children will serve the Lord. Drug addiction will not claim one member of your family. Alcoholism will leave your son's life. One more time, say it. Say, I've got faith. Those people got saved. Those people asked for prayer. That's actually why we lined everybody up. When I would do those meetings, I used to not line everybody up because I think I'm already being pushy enough to preach when they didn't even know they were going to hear preaching. But every time I would go to leave the platform, somebody would storm forward. Excuse me, my daughter has leukemia. Would you pray? I'm talking unsaved people. See, even if you only preach on heaven and don't preach on healing, you're still talking about supernatural things. And the word of God starts to stir in people that, wait a minute, maybe my case isn't over. Maybe there is a God who can do something about this. And as you continue preaching, it goes from thinking there might be a God. You know, all we've ever had to use security for at any of these meetings, that's like number 15 that we've done outside in the United States, crusades. We have to have security. No security has ever had to tackle anybody, shove anyone, only to make a single file line to hug me or to put people in their proper place that want prayer. Because the gospel breaks all that down. People that didn't know God, God's looking to show himself to them. You might be watching me on YouTube right now or on Christian television and you're as weak as can be. Life has been very hard. Life has been terrible. Nothing has ever worked out. I'm telling you right now, you're only one prayer away from the power of God reaching down and picking you up out of that pit and setting your feet on the rock to stay. If you can testify to that today as a believer, one more time, let your hand clap and shout. Be the loudest at Wolfpack 2026. Hey! Our God is a consuming fire. There's an anointing on confrontation this year. There's a newspaper in the city where I pastor. They always write negative articles on our church. And Sunday, I got into a little vein of the Holy Ghost. I said, how many negative articles does the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette want to write against our church? I said, when you started writing the articles, you used to be published every day. Now you're down to one publication a week. And I said, your building's empty, and soon, if you write, I said, soon from the articles you've written, you won't exist anymore. I said that Sunday. Wednesday, they announced May 3rd, they cease operations totally. You put your hand against the children of God, you lose your hand. You touch the church, you lose your life. The devil's gonna find out there's another side of God. He's a consuming fire. He's Jehovah, the mighty man of war, and he's fighting for you today. Stand on your feet, everybody. Every hand lifted to the Lord. I don't just want to preach about God helping other people when there's people here who need help. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Jesus healed a leper. Everybody say diseases of the flesh. Organ decay, skin decay, bone decay, joint decay. Next, palsy. Everybody say central nervous system. Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, whatever. Then Peter's mother-in-law, fever. Fevers are in the blood. Everybody say diseases of the blood. Sickle cell anemia, HIV AIDS, leukemia, cancers that are in the blood. Category 3. Then the Bible says they brought unto him all the sick. And no matter what their sickness or what their disease or if they were possessed by evil spirits, one touch from his hand healed them all. A doctor from Harvard named Dr. Kelly Victor, I ran this by her. She said, I'm right, and I got it from another preacher. All sickness and disease can be broken into four categories. Diseases of the flesh, diseases of the central nervous system, diseases of the blood, and then the fourth one would be when they say, we can't figure this out. Demons, there's still one out of every three people that Jesus healed, there was a demon that needed to be dealt with. And so the fourth category would be sickness and disease, addiction, depression, thoughts of suicide that are caused by demon spirits, and Christ destroyed all four categories in 17 verses. Has Jesus changed?
No.
Has his power lessened?
No.
Every hand lifted in the sound of my voice. Put your hand, one hand, where the problem is. If you have like 11, just put it on top of your head. That'll be your sign to God that you need an overhaul. Any painful lump in the breast, any tumor, every sickness and disease, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose I am and whose I serve, come out of every body now. A wave of healing washes over this place now. Those of you watching in prison, those of you watching in the hospital, the same power that got my brother-in-law up off of that bed raises you up off of that bed today. Every family that's represented here that has a sick family member that wasn't able to attend, the power of God will follow you home and raise them up off of their bed. In the name of Jesus. One last thing. Every hand lifted, receive an impartation of the gift of faith. And as you flow in that gift in 2026, the things you struggled for will come effortlessly into your life. You won't go out chasing money. Money will be chasing you. The blessing of God will pursue and overtake you every day of 2026. If you receive it, one final time, give the mightiest hand clap and shout to God that you've ever given to anybody. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.